This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
All right, it's the start of a new week, and the Vintage Truth Podcast is a day late getting published because of some family trips that we had celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary. So that was exciting to do with my family and obviously to celebrate 38 years with the most amazing woman on planet Earth, in my estimation. But anyway, apologize for that day late publication, but or broadcast rather. Hey, listen, I want to tell you that God is doing so many things in this world right now. There's so many reasons for us to look up and to be positive, but also to be realistic about the way the world is changing. And trust me, the world is going to change dramatically after this coronavirus thing has happened. It's not just a blip on the screen. It's not just a threat, some isolated country that has been affected by this, but literally every country on planet Earth. And also, it has greatly impacted the economic landscape of the world and of individual people's lives in such a way that even a stimulus check cannot reverse. And so going forward, there are going to be lots of challenges for Christians, and we need to be ahead of the curve on this thing. And so I want to encourage you to dive into God's Word and to be anchored to the truth during these challenging times. And I'll have more to say about that in upcoming podcasts. Hey, also, if you have not yet purchased my book, Interview with the Antichrist, His Hour Has Come, I strongly encourage you to do so, because this book is making an impact in raising the consciousness of Christians in the age in which we live. If ever you should read a book about the Antichrist, it should be right now, because we are ramping up to the days of Revelation, and God's prophetic clock continues to tick, and emerging prophecies are some in their embryonic stages, but some in their more developed stages are being formed throughout the world, preparing the world for the day that the Antichrist will step on the scene. And this book, Interview with the Antichrist, is a compelling apocalyptic narrative on what that world just might look like from an inside view of the Antichrist's inner circle. And then at the back of the book, I have a section called Meet the Antichrist, where I answer for you 30 of the top most compelling and intriguing questions about the Antichrist, answered for you directly from Scripture and my take on what some of these things could mean. So pick this book up today. Go to Amazon right now, and just with one click, you can download the Kindle version, the ebook version, the audiobook version, or the print version, and get that in your hands. And then once you read it, please share it with others. Not share the actual book, but share the truth of the book with others and encourage them to buy a copy as well. As an author, there's only one thing that determines the success of a book is when people buy it. That's it right there. It's not how cool the cover is, how much the author talks about it. It really boils down to people purchasing the book and then sharing that with others so that they can do the same. So if you care about this ministry, part of the ways you can support this ministry is to purchase a book. And like I said, it goes to help others to do that as well. Hey, speaking of the end times, and I just got off of three podcasts of talking about the rapture and the pre-tribulational rapture. And you know, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, when people say Jesus is coming back, you know, sometimes Christians get confused. Are we talking about the second coming? Are we talking about the rapture? Are these the same event? And I want to talk about today the distinctions between the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible uses a word that that describes both of these appearances, both these comings, and it's the Greek word parousia, or parousia, and it simply means an appearing. or a coming, an arrival. And this word, depending on the context in the scripture, can refer to either the rapture or the second coming. The Apostle Paul was a champion of this word, and he used it. In fact, in the New Testament, it's used over 24 times, and 17 of these usages refer to the future return of Jesus Christ. Now, again, like all words in the New Testament, you can't just say, well, the Greek word means this. What does the Greek word and its meaning mean in a specific passage according to the immediate context of the passage? That's what you really want to know. And some of these uses of parousia, as I said, are associated with the rapture. By other times, it clearly and can only mean the second coming that we read about in Revelation chapter 19. Again, the word just means arrival or means presence. And in secular literature, it was used to announce the arrival of a king. So a very, very appropriate word that we can use. Second thing you should know about this word parousia or parousia is, according to Scripture, it is typically sudden. In other words, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:52, that the appearance of Christ at the rapture will occur in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, before a person realizes that it's occurred, it's already happened. And that's exactly what we're going to see at the rapture. But I want to talk about the differences between the rapture, because, you know, one of the things that Paul over and over said again, and John said too, is that we should not be ignorant. We should not be left in the dark about these things, and God doesn't want us to be left in the dark. And also, John repeatedly said, I write these things that you may know, and we know. And so there's a sense of confidence that God wants you to have. God does not want you to wonder about some of these major things. He wants you to be settled and secure and confident. So let me just clip through some of the differences between the rapture and the second coming. The first thing you should know is that at the rapture, believers, the church, the bride of Christ, will be translated. We will be changed at that moment. And the Bible says that we're going to be raptured, harpazo. We talked about that word earlier. And we're going to be given an imperishable, incorruptible body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At the second coming of Christ, there is no translation. There is no change of our bodies, okay? No mention of that whatsoever. Another thing is that at the rapture, the saints at that time, at the time of the rapture, which could be today, it could be at some point in the future, we are changed and we go up to heaven. That's the idea. At the second coming, we come down to earth. So one, we go up, the other, we come down. At the rapture, the earth is not judged. It's not a judgment event. It's a rescue operation. It's an operation of deliverance. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and chapter 5, verse 9 says, at the second coming, the earth is judged, and righteousness is established, okay? So one is a rescue, the other is a judgment. When Christ comes back at his second coming, it is not a wonderful thing for the earth. It's a time when the king's going to show up and he's going to render to every person according to what they have done. It's going to be a time of monumental, global, cataclysmic, chaotic slaughter. And the Bible says just in Revelation 19, by the word of his mouth, he's going to slaughter his enemy. He's going to tread the winepress of the wrath of God. He's going to stomp out his enemies, and he's going to kill them and render wrath and judgment. Not so at the rapture. At the rapture, it's glorious. It's comforting. That's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Nobody's comforting anybody at the second coming, all right? Jesus is coming in absolute judgment. Another difference is the rapture is a doctrine of imminence. In other words, it could happen at any moment. It is a signless event. All right? When we talk about the rapture that could come at any time, the Bible gives us no indication, zero indication as to the exact timing of the rapture. It's a signless event. Now, there are revelation prophecies that are in formation right now, as I said, in their embryonic or developmental stage right now, but none of them tell us exactly when the rapture is going to happen. On the other hand, the second coming of Christ follows Revelation 6 through 19, where there are definite, specific, predicted signs that lead up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, there are just dozens and dozens of signs that lead up to that. So it's not an imminent event. It's going to happen at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And yet even then, the Bible says that the world will not know it's coming. Because out of two things, number one, just human arrogance. I mean, how arrogant is it that the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the armies of the earth can gather on the battlefield of Armageddon and believe they're going to win in a battle against God and against the one riding on the white horse. And it says they gather there to do battle with God. So there are these signs that lead up to that, but not so for the rapture. Another distinction is the rapture is nowhere found in the Old Testament. You say, wait a minute, if it's such a big deal, why is it not in the Old Testament? Well, there's several very easy explanations for that. Number one, the Old Testament was written to Jews. That's number one. So it would not have concerned the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, which is a separate entity. The church and Israel are two separate entities and distinctions in Scripture. And Paul writes in his epistles that the church, the bride of Christ, is God's mystery. So it was held, it was cloaked and veiled to the Jews of the Old Testament. So it's not even in the Old Testament. But the second coming of Christ is predicted over and over and over in the Old Testament. So that's another distinction. In the rapture, believers are the only people that are immediately and directly affected by the parousia of the rapture. Okay? When Christ comes in the air, the only people that are affected are believers. We are raptured up with it. Nobody else is affected. Now, there are residual effects. There are concentric, you know, ripple effects that unbelievers in the world obviously will be greatly affected, but directly, just believers. And at the second coming, that's going to affect everybody. Everybody on planet Earth is going to be affected by the second coming of Christ. In the rapture, we see an event that happens before the day of God's wrath on planet Earth. It's prior to God unleashing the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments. But at the time of the second coming, it's concluding his day of wrath of this tribulation period. So one actually doesn't actually begin the seven-year tribulation. That's another mistaken identity sometimes, or mistaken notion, that the rapture begins the tribulation period. No, the tribulation period begins, according to Daniel 9:26 and 27, with the signing of a peace treaty by the Antichrist. That immediately starts the clock ticking of the seven-year tribulation period. The rapture will trigger some of that, but it will not begin that. There could be, very well could be, weeks and even months between the rapture and the signing of this peace treaty, while all hell breaks loose in terms of chaos and panic and just a cataclysmic sense of anxiety all over planet Earth before the rapture, during the time of the rapture and the signing of the peace treaty. But it happens before the day of wrath. The tribulation period concludes the day of wrath. It's the ending of this seven-year period of God's wrath on the earth. Another clear distinction. Another thing about the rapture is that there's no reference at all about Satan during the tribulation. In other words, the tribulation does not affect Satan in a negative way. He is not, in fact, just the opposite. it's going to free Satan up in the sense that he's going to be able to have free reign through the Antichrist. But at the second coming, the Bible says, Satan is bound. The Antichrist and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire, Revelation 19. But in Revelation 20, Satan is bound. And I get all these evil entities all kind of merging into one sometimes. Of course, they are the unholy Trinity. But Satan is bound. Satan is not bound at the rapture. He's not currently bound right now, by the way. Some views say that Satan is bound. If he's bound right now, he's got a long leash. The other thing is this, is that Satan definitely is not bound because he's going to have free reign during the tribulation period. Another distinction is that at the rapture, Christ comes for his own. He comes for the church to deliver her. At the second coming, he comes with the church. One is a rapture up, the harpazo up of the church. The other, Revelation 19, says that he comes with those same saints that are clothed in fine linen, the exact way the church is described in the book of Revelation as being in heaven. We come with Christ at the second coming. Christ comes for us at his rapture. Another distinction is that at the rapture, the world does not witness this. He comes in the air. It says we meet the Lord in the air. But at the second coming, it says he comes to the earth. He actually physically comes to the earth, and as we've seen, his foot will touch the Mount of Olives. So Jesus is going to make a touchdown. He's going to make a landing on the earth at the second coming, but not so at the rapture. At the rapture, he claims his bride. But as I said earlier, he's going to come with his bride and claim his throne and his righteousness at the second coming. At the rapture, the only people to see Christ are the church. If the rapture were to happen today, we would be the only ones who would see Christ, not the world. But at the second coming, Revelation 1:7 tells us that every eye will see him. And by the way, you know, 100 years ago or 50 years ago even, people may say, well, how in the world could every eye see Jesus when he comes back? That's not something that is really that far-fetched or even supernatural sounding right now, that every eye could see Christ. I mean, right now, if something to the effect of the assassination of a major world leader or some global cataclysmic event were to happen, we would all see it. I mean, we all have access to that via the internet. But I tend to believe that it's not just going to be through, like, quote-unquote social media. I mean, people are not going to be tweeting the second coming of Christ, you know, for 10 days after the second coming. No, no. They're all going to see Christ. And God is going to accomplish this, I believe, supernaturally so that the entire world sees him. And there are other distinctions, by the way, but perhaps one last one is that at the rapture, after the rapture, tribulation begins. After the second coming, the millennial kingdom begins. So while one is rescue at the rapture, after the second coming, there's going to be, or at the second coming, there's going to be retribution. And then after that, Jesus Christ's millennial kingdom of 1,000 years is going to begin. And those are just some really, really important distinctions to make between the rapture and the second coming. In essence, his coming is in two parts. One is to say to the church, bride, come up here to be with me because I'm about to do something on the earth. I'm about to scorch the earth, okay? And I don't want you to be a part of that. So I'm going to rescue you from the wrath that is coming and deliver you from this judgment that is impending so that I can then do two things. Number one, so that I can render judgment on the earth and bring the kind of wrath that this world has never known, even greater than the flood, is going to be a series, the seal, trumpet, bowl judgments of wrath. And the second thing about the second coming and leading up to the second coming is the fact that God's going to turn his attention back to Israel. God has not forgotten Israel in terms of his covenants with them that he made thousands of years ago. They've been on the back burner according to Revelation 9 through 11, but he's going to turn his attention back to Israel and he's going to deal with them. For that reason, that's another reason why we won't be here. is because God's going to be dealing primarily with Israel during that time. So I hope those are very helpful to you to get kind of in your head to separate those two events. One is rescue. The other is retribution. Christ is coming, my friend. He will come at the rapture, and he will come back at his second coming. Those are some of the differences. Hope you enjoy that. I'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.